Chapter 2. Violence on the Street. This stranger was a thin young man, with blonde hair and a straight, thin-lipped mouth. His hand rested on the shoulder of an armed officer standing next to him. The wild crowd left for the town hall, and the young man and the officer followed them there. It was not far, and within minutes, the mob was shouting outside the town hall. Deputy Bovelt came out to see what they wanted. "We want an order to remove Lieutenant Tilly's guards from the prison gate," cried the people. Deputy Bovelt explained that this would require a court order, but the people would not be moved. "Then get one," they said. Soon the deputy head came out to speak to the people. "Be careful, Your Highness," the officer said to the young man. "The deputy head has met you several times. He might recognize you." "Yes, you're right," said Prince William. "Then the people will accuse me of being behind this." He wrapped the scarf tighter around his mouth and continued watching the scene. A small group of people were allowed into the town hall building. "Do you think they'll get the order?" the officer asked. "It would be like signing a death warrant for Johann and Cornelius de Witt." Prince William remained strangely silent. After 15 minutes, the people came out of the building, headed by a man, his face terribly transformed by a hateful joy. It was Tichelaer. "We've got it! We've got it!" he cried, waving a paper in the air. "They got the order," the officer muttered. "I don't believe it." As the crowd raced past them towards the prison, the prince said, "Come, let's follow them. I think we're going to witness quite a spectacle." The officer, who was a good and decent man, looked concerned. The crowd rushed back to the prison, and the paper was given to Lieutenant Tilly, who had no choice but to remove his guards. The crowd gave a furious cheer, filled with hatred and savage joy, and charged towards the prison gate. They shook the gate, shouting, "Open the gate! Death to all traitors!" Johann and Cornelius de Witt could hear the shouts as they entered the prison courtyard, where they met young Rosa. "Lieutenant Tilly's guards have left," she said, shaking with fright. "You mustn't go through the main gate. It's not safe for you." "Then how can we leave?" asked Johann. "Through the back gate," said Rosa. "I told your servant to wait there with your carriage." The two brothers looked at Rosa, full of gratitude. "Will Griffiths open the back gate for us?" asked Johann. "No, he won't, but don't worry," Rosa said. "I took the key from his pocket. I've got it here." "My dear Rosa," said Cornelius, "I've got nothing to give you for your kindness, except the Bible that you'll find in my cell. Keep it." "Thank you, sir. I'll keep it always," said Rosa. "And good luck." They could clearly hear the shouts from the mob pushing on the broken gate. "Quick, follow me," said Rosa. And she took the brothers through the back gate into a deserted street where their carriage was waiting for them. "Quickly, quickly, master," the coachman cried in terror. "Goodbye, and thank you, my child," said Johann to Rosa, jumping into the carriage with Cornelius. Rosa returned to the prison and saw her father standing near the front gate. "Father, come away, they'll break the gate down," cried Rosa. "We must hide, or they'll kill us too. Come, let's go to the secret dungeon." Griffiths followed his daughter to the dungeon just as the gate collapsed. The violent mob rushed into the prison, shouting, "Cornelius de Witt to the gallows!" But soon they discovered that the prisoner was no longer in the prison. "He's escaped! Quick, we must find him!" they shouted in a frenzy. By now, Johann and Cornelius's carriage was approaching the town gate, a few streets away from the prison. To their horror, the gate was closed. "I'm sorry, sir," said the guard, "but the order came straight from Prince William." Desperate, Johann showed the guard the prison document, ordering Cornelius to be exiled, but the guard shook his head sadly. "I'm sorry, sir, but I haven't got the key. It was taken from me a few hours ago." Then we are doomed, Cornelius declared. Not yet, said Johann. There's another town gate. Coachman, turn around. Let's try to get to that one. The coachman turned the carriage around and started to drive in the opposite direction. Suddenly he stopped. The whole population of The Hague, it seemed, had appeared at the far end of the street and approached them with the speed and noise of a hurricane, shouting, "There they are!" In an instant, the carriage was trapped between the crowds that were running from all directions. Prince William was among the mob. Behind him was the good officer, almost as pale as his master. "Oh my God, something terrible is going to happen," he said. "Yes, it seems so," the young prince replied, as he watched the people drag Cornelius de Witt out of the carriage and start to beat him savagely. "These people must have very powerful feelings of indignation," Prince William said in the same impassive tone. The officer gave a faint cry as somebody hit Cornelius with an iron bar, which broke his skull. Cornelius tried to get up and then fell back down. After that, men took his feet and dragged him through the crowd, leaving a bloody trail behind him as people closed in with great shouts of joy. "Sir," said the officer, "can't you save this poor man who was your Highness's tutor? If there's any way, please tell me." Prince William turned his face away and did not reply. The people now pulled Johann out of the carriage, and the officer turned away. He could not watch their noble prime minister being knocked down by cruel blows from the mob. "My brother! Where's my brother?" cried Johann, trying to see what had happened to Cornelius through the stream of blood that was blinding him. "Go and join him," shouted another murderer. He put his musket against Johann's head and fired, blowing out Johann's brains. The brothers were dead, but still, people continued firing their weapons at them and hitting them with hammers, swords, or knives. Then the broken, bloodied bodies were dragged to the gallows and hung up by their necks. The crowd was too excited to notice the young man, the scarf still concealing his face, walking over to the guard at the town gate. "Here's your key back, my friend," the young man told the gatekeeper. "It's a pity you didn't bring this key to me just half an hour earlier," the gatekeeper said with a sigh. "I could have opened the gate for the De Witt brothers and perhaps saved their lives." The prince replied with false compassion, "Yes, it's a great pity." And then he turned away and smiled to himself. I'd love to see the look on the face of King Louis XIV, that French fool, when he learns the fate of his good friends, the De Witt brothers. And so the people of The Hague celebrated the murder of Johann and Cornelius de Witt. Meantime, Johann's faithful servant, Craik, who knew nothing about the terrible events that had just taken place, was riding towards Dordrecht with a secret message of warning for the de Witt's nephew, Cornelius van Baerle.